Our text for this morning is Luke chapter 2, verse 6. The time came for her, that is Mary, to give birth. This is the word of the Lord. Our gracious Father, as we begin to look at your text this morning, we pray that you would bless us, that you would give us the message you have for us today. Amen. At some point, the whole of Christendom decided that they would commemorate that birth with the celebration of Christmas. Birth certificates and records are somewhat lacking from the first century, so we don't really know if it was December 25th. But it was sometime. The historical evidence for the existence of Christ is pretty good. And so the only question is, when was his birthday? We don't know, but we've chosen to celebrate it on December 25th. In the church calendar, Advent is celebrated in the four Sundays prior to Christmas. But in the secular calendar, the one which actually impacts us more regularly, Christmas is celebrated beginning the day after Thanksgiving and running into the new year as merchants seek to sell us as much as they can. Thanksgiving came early this year. Actually, not any earlier than other years. It's still the fourth Thursday in November. It's just that the fourth Thursday in November is almost as early as it can get. Next year, it's actually a day earlier. Next year, it's November 22nd. But this year, we still ended with five Sundays before Christmas. There are 30 days until Christmas. 29 shopping days. Most of, for some of you, that doesn't matter. You only worry when it gets down to like 12 hours before Christmas. But there are 30 days until Christmas. And between now and then, if you can stomach watching any of the NFL, our local games seem to be lacking in quality, shall I say? But if you can stomach watching television, you will be bombarded with advertisements. Advertisements for things that you didn't know you needed. A new video game system. Another large screen TV. You know, I remember when they first started coming out with large screen TVs, and I thought, man, that'd be cool to have one of those. But after you've had six of them, do you need any more? I don't have six. Although, honestly, my smallest TVs now are like two or three times the size of the first ones I got. Remember when you could buy a 13-inch TV? It was a big deal. And now a 13-inch TV isn't even big enough to be your monitor. Some people have telephones that are that big. Cell phones. 13-inch. They want you to buy and buy more, and there's a whole lot of other necessities of life. Things that you can only buy today, because this price only lasts through 12 o'clock tonight, or until supplies last. And it is the best price of the season, until the season's over and they have to clear them off the shelves, ones that didn't sell. Because after Christmas, the sales kick in. And you will hear happy holidays and even an occasional Merry Christmas. And almost certainly there's going to be one Christmas song which the radio gurus have decided is the song which they must bombard you with all season long. It's going to get under your skin, make you hope you never hear it again. Something like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, or I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a shut up. By the time you've heard that song every day for 30 days, you just want something else. And I can almost guarantee that the song isn't going to be Joy to the World. You know, Silent Night. With 30 days till the big celebration, here are my suggestions on how to survive the holiday season and keep your faith intact. The first is to worship. To worship. If you read through the Gospel of Luke in the first few chapters, you see there are four songs. They have these fancy Latin names, the Magnificat, the Benedictus, the Nunc Dimittis. They are the Mary's song, Zechariah's song, the song of the angels in Luke 2, and the song of Simeon. These are introduced to us as the response of individuals to the great event of history that a Savior has been born. And when we get into the Christmas season, we sometimes have this paranoia that if we sing the wrong song, someone's going to say we're a flaming Christian. Well, we may be a flaming Christian only until the return of Christ, and then we're not flaming anymore. Then we're just basking in heaven. Sing songs. There is nothing wrong with singing Joy to the World, or Hark the Herald Angels Sing, or What Child Is This? And if you sing the songs that we sang this morning, they tell a story. Do you notice that? They walk through what the kings did, what the shepherds did. They remind us of one of the great events of history. It's not about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Part of the way we maintain our faith at Christmas is to actually worship. When we were in our first church in Wisconsin, we lived in the boondocks. We were 10 miles south of a town of 900. And when my wife and I moved in with 2.5 kids, we doubled the population of our town. There was actually a town called Trade River, and we doubled the population. There were now 10 people, soon to be 11, in Trade River. There was not a Walmart within spitting distance. We had to drive an hour just to get to a decent store. And the result of that is that people on the weekend said, well, let's drive down to the Twin Cities. We were about an hour and a half from Minneapolis. And so they would leave on Sunday morning to get ready for Christmas, because they had to go buy stuff. So they go downtown to Minneapolis to buy their Christmas gifts. And in the midst of this, our oldest son, Andrew, he was looking around, and it was a Sunday before Christmas, and he said, well, where are these people? And there are a bunch of people gone, and somebody said to him, well, they went shopping to get ready for Christmas. And I think it was at this moment that he earned his title of a minor prophet, when he said, some people skip church to get ready for Christmas. We go to church to get ready for Christmas. If you want to sustain your faith through the Christmas season, try going to church to get ready for Christmas. Because ultimately, Christmas is not about getting the best sale price. It is about honoring the child who was born so many years ago to be our Savior. If we take worship out of Christmas, then it really just is a commercial holiday. Worship. That's what Mary did when she finds out she's going to have the Christ child. She sings this incredible song, my soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. My soul magnifies the Lord. That's what Zacharias did. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. It's what the angels did when they said, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. It's what Simeon did 8 days after the birth when he said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. At some point in the Christmas season, put aside your embarrassment that you can't come in at the right time to sing the song. Put aside your embarrassment that you don't know all the words. Put aside your embarrassment that sometimes you sing the wrong tune, and just worship Jesus. Focus on Him. And if someone says you didn't get the right Christmas present, you say, well, God gave us the right Christmas present. And it's really not about what you get from me, but what you get from Him. Which gives a second point. Not only should we worship, but we should give gifts. I know many regret the commercialization of Christmas season. And I don't think that you ought to go into debt in order to keep up with the neighbors. It doesn't really matter how big your TV is. It's not that big of an issue. You could go into debt and buy yourself a 55-inch or a 72-inch or some massively huge TV that makes the figures on TV look life-sized, or you could just say, I'm content. I'm content because at Christmas, I give some gifts because it reminds us that God gave us a gift. Gift-giving at Christmas has a rich and rewarding history. Both the giving of gifts and the receiving of gifts. Of course, I'd have to mention the Magi, for at that first Christmas season, they came bearing gifts to God. Now, if I was really into it, and I heard some guy on the radio this morning talking about how much you should give, this is a really great time to give gold to God and do it through the church. Okay, you've been here long enough to know that's not my normal approach. But if you want to, we'll take it. Just saying, we want to finish the year well. But over the years, within Christendom, we have given gifts in order to bring a blessing to those less fortunate than ourselves, in order to recognize that there's something incredibly powerful that happened at that first Christmas. Because it is at Christmas that God gave us the most important gift that we could ever receive. And when we give gifts at Christmas, we are emulating God. We are following His pattern. Because at Christmas, God sent us His Son, a gift far more valuable than we could ever give, but one which we must receive. So, if you want to keep your faith, don't keep your faith by pretending that gift-giving has nothing to do with Christmas. Embrace gift-giving as an expression of your faith and as a means in which we can bless other people, we can bless our family, we can give to them because God has given to us. And make sure in the Christmas season that you have accepted the gift of Jesus Christ. For if we don't accept the gift, it's not really ours. A few weeks ago, about a month and a half ago, I had a friend who visited, and you know that you've been here long enough, you know that I make pens. And I actually had a pen which I made, and I had this individual in mind. And I gave him the pen. And after he left, I found that he chose intentionally to leave the pen behind. It was pretty obvious that he just chose not to accept that gift. I wanted to call and say, what gives? Well, I knew what gave. He didn't want to accept a gift that was worth $100. I wanted to give it to him, but he didn't want to take it. And so, if you'd like a $100 pen, I'll give it to you. First person to pony up $150, I'll give you a gift for her. No. The problem is that I have the gift. It's in my office that I gave to him, and he rejected it. I had a really interesting thing happen to me when I saw that. My response was, well, you can just write with Bic. Okay, it was not quite that kind. And it gave me this weird perspective of why it is that God, who offers this free gift of salvation, is willing to allow people to be punished because they refuse to accept his gift. Give gifts and receive gifts at Christmas. And do so in the love of God. The third thing I suggest you do to survive the Christmas season and keep your faith is to meditate. In Luke chapter 2, verse 19, the shepherds have come and they've worshipped the child. And then it says this, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary pondered these things in her heart. So I have a question for you. When was the last time that you really pondered something? Where you laid aside the distractions of life? Where you laid aside your cell phone, your 13-inch laptop, or you just put everything aside and you meditated? During a busy Christmas season, there are lots of people that want to take your time. There's always another sale going on. There's always another party you can go to. There's always another batch of cookies that could be baked. There's always another Christmas card that you could sign and send off. We live in incredibly busy, cluttered times. I mean, we have to find out what's going on in the news. I've been tracking that, and I have this tendency to look at the news like most of you do, and the headlines don't change, but like once a week. We're still talking about whatever happened a week ago, and you read the same articles, and you go, why bother? Just get the Sunday paper and read what happened last week, and don't even do that. It's depressing. Just take the Word of God. Pick a passage. Read it. And then be still. Scripture says, be still and know that He is God. If we're never still, we will probably never know that He is God. Meditate. Ponder these things. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. You don't even have to turn to Scripture. You can just do these things from memory. Well, little town of Bethlehem, just stop and think about that. What does it mean for Christ to choose to be born in a little town 10 miles south of a town of 900? Okay, that's not describing Bethlehem. It's a nowhere town. Nothing significant. And He came there for us. And that makes Bethlehem significant. Ponder. Just some quick notes on how you can do that. First, I would suggest that you make sure you turn off the electronics. You will not very effectively meditate or ponder if you are checking your text messages, if you're reading your email. I suggest the first thing you have to do is just put aside the electronics. Turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off the computer, or go in the other room, leave your cell phone in the other room. And sit. You can kneel if you want. I used to kneel, and then it took me so long to get up, I decided I better just sit. Do something which makes you comfortable, but not so comfortable that you fall asleep. And then I recommend you sit in a chair, and that you close your eyes, put your palms up, and you imagine yourself sitting toe-to-toe, knee-to-knee, eye to eye with Jesus. He's sitting right there in front of you. He wants to communicate to you. He wants to reveal himself to you. Breathe slowly. Don't talk to him. Let him talk to you. One of the things we often do when we think we're pondering is we think we have to tell God stuff. There's a news flash. God knows every problem you're facing. You don't have to always tell him. You can just come to him and say, God, I'm listening to you. Teach me. Picture Jesus sitting there. When I do that, I always picture him reaching out and touching my hands and just giving me a gentle squeeze. When I do that, I almost always hear him say, hey, Steve, I love you. Merry Christmas. Jesus wants us to ponder these things, to slow down life. And he wants to speak into our life in a time when the world just wants to pick our pocket. You want to preserve your faith during the Christmas season, you have to begin by having a commitment to worshiping him, a willingness to both give and receive gifts, and a willingness to be still and know that he is God. A couple nights ago, at 10:30, we have a noisemaker, a sound machine that we have in our bedroom. And at 10:30, all of a sudden, the whole house went absolutely silent. The electricity went out. The clock, the digital clock next to my head, was black. It was this eerie, when do we ever get that kind of silence kind of moment? And we tried to figure out what's going on. It wasn't our fault. The electrical company, you know, they said it'll be back on at 1:30, then it was 4:30, then it was 8:30, then it was 11. You know, they just left us in the dark. And as I went back and laid down, because there's nothing else you can do, it's 1:30 in the morning, you know, it's 10:30 at night, and there's no electricity. You can't turn on a radio. My cell phone worked, but man, it was so bright. I had to turn it off. And I laid in my bed, and there was just silence. There's a gift of silence that God wants to give to you. For in those moments of silence, he reveals himself to you. You'll think back upon the things of the day. I found myself thinking back upon the things of the last year. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. And I am so looking forward to a new year. God just said, I love you. Regardless of what's happened in the last 12 months, I love you. Christmas is coming. Remember my gift. Worship, give gifts, meditate. And the fourth piece of advice is to tell people. Maybe it's just because I'm getting old and curmudgy, but I refuse to say happy holidays. It's Merry Christmas. I was walking through a store this week, and nobody wants to speak to one another unless you're wearing you work for the store and you have to talk to people. If you go through the store and you try to catch people's eyes, they look the other way. You know, they don't want to have to deal with somebody else. And I just decided I didn't care. I'm just going to say Merry Christmas. Amazing thing happened. Not one person took a swing at me. I was politically incorrect. Nobody said, hey, you can't say that. I said, Merry Christmas. And people smiled. And then I followed it up and said, may God bless you this season. See, there's an interesting thing happens in the Christmas narrative. These wise guys, I mean, these magi, they see these stars and they follow the stars. So there's a king of Israel born, and they go there and they start telling people, hey, where are you going? Where are you going? I'm not sure where we're going. We're following that star. We're pretty sure there's a king born, and we're going to tell people about it. And they go and they tell the king, hey, did you know there's a king born? You go, what do you mean there's a king born? Yeah, there's a king born. They tell the religious leaders, did you know there's a king born? Really? There's one. And finally, they find out where they're going. And what do they do when they get there? They say, hey, did you know there's a king born here? Right there. That's him. The shepherds, the angels come and they talk to him and say, hey, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth among men with whom he is pleased. And they say, hey, we should go down and tell people about this. And they go down and they say, hey, did you know there's a baby born? Mary says, yeah, I'm pretty sure I was there. Everybody's telling people, Jesus is born. The Savior has come. Simeon, the prophet, at the 8 days later when Jesus goes in to get dedicated, he says, hallelujah, I can now depart in peace because salvation has come to Israel. He's just shouting it out. Jesus is here. It's Christmas. There's hardly any other time in the whole Christian, whole calendar when we can't just say to people, Merry Christmas, Jesus is here. And people might look at us like we're crazy, and that's okay because we know the truth. Jesus is here. Jesus wants to bless you this Christmas season. Keep reminding yourself that it's Merry Christmas, that little Christ in there. Not, Christmas is not, you know, a replacement word for ham dinner. You know, Merry ham dinner. No, it's Merry Christmas. We come together and we say, Jesus is born, and this is one of the most important things that we can say, instill in people the idea that a Savior has come, a wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, God our Father. And though we don't have to argue whether or not he was born on December 25th, who cares? The date isn't important, unimportant. The important part is that he was born for us in order to be our Savior. So tell people. If you go through the whole Christmas season and you never tell somebody, I actually believe Jesus was born. He came here for us. I believe in Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas. Oh, well, we don't know when Christmas was. Who cares? We know Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus is coming back. Tell people. Because a hidden faith is not a faith which will grow. If you want to sustain your faith through the Christmas season, worship Him. Sing the songs with gusto. Not Rudolph. Not just, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Not Auld Lang Syne. But Silent Night, Holy Night. Joy to the World. Worship. Give gifts. Don't embrace commercialism. Don't go into debt. But give gifts with the intention of reminding people that I do this because God gave a gift to me. I'm going to give a gift to you. It doesn't compare to the gift that God gave to me. And I'd like you to receive the gift he's given also, but I just want to remind you that God is in the business of giving gifts. Give gifts. Receive gifts. Meditate. Turn off the distractions. And listen to Jesus. And then, by all means, tell people, Merry Christmas. Let's bow together. Our gracious Father, I ask that you would help us during this Christmas season to focus upon the wonderful gift that you've given to us. That you would help us to grow our faith in this marvelous season when the world might not like it if we say Merry Christmas, but they also understand that for the believer in Jesus Christ, this is an extremely important time. Thank you, Jesus, for the gifts that you have given to us. We worship you. And we ask that you would speak to us throughout this Christmas season. To the end that you would receive honor and glory, we pray. Amen. Now, may you remember these words, Merry Christmas, Jesus is alive. And repeat them throughout the year. Amen.